Thank you very much, girls, for that. I'm glad to see you desiring to stand and sing. It's hour has come that we would hear the Lord speak to us, a message that has been prepared, and I trust that my brother has prepared and has sought the Lord for it, so I would ask that we pay attention, you open your scriptures, and we follow along as our brother Gordon brings the message of this hour.
Thank you, Adam. Good evening. Well, I do have a topic tonight that I'd like to present to you. I want to kind of start off a little bit like Sunday school. You're welcome to respond as I ask questions, at least for this first part of it. And if you feel inclined, maybe later on, even the second part of it. Who can start us off about the characteristics or the nature of God? What was one of the first things he did? God, after creating the heavens and the earth and everything in them are, and we showed up, what was right after that? Huh? Yeah, he rested. He said, well, that was a tough thing. Then he looked at us and he goes, boy, I need another rest, right? Okay. He did something. He placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and then he did what? Yeah, he gave them the commandments, didn't he? He gave them commandments. He told them what they could and couldn't do, right? And so he set expectations to Adam and Eve, right? And then conversely, after he set those expectations, what did he do after that? He provided what the consequences, right, of violating those commandments. So he was really setting those expectations and giving direct understanding of where he was coming from, what he wanted from you and I, and if we didn't follow that, he told us what would happen. If it was a good thing or a bad thing. And so he laid it very plainly out for all of us, didn't he? He was a good parent. Then he was, we find in the scripture, he was consistent in positive and negative reinforcement, right? Based on what? On those commandments, right? Things he said, I want you to do or not do. He provided the positive and negative reinforcement. So can somebody help me with what maybe some of those positive reinforcements were that he would do for us? If we followed the commandments, what were some of the positive things that would come from that? Well, he would provide for them, and we would have this general satisfaction within our hearts and our minds. We would have that good feeling that we were doing right before God, right? And he would help us to feel that. And then the negative ones, we wouldn't prosper, right? And we didn't feel good about ourselves. Those two were the positive and negative things. And it could be to the extent that the negative things was even all the way up to death, wasn't it? The negative thing that he commanded, ultimate death. And then the positive thing was ultimate life. So that was the two ends of the spectrum and then everything in between, in the physical life and the spiritual life. And so he didn't leave us alone there. You know, he gave us the commandments. He gave us the consequences for and against. He also gave us helps, right? He gave us his spirit that it would guide and direct us within our hearts and our minds. He provided the angels to speak to us in his behalf, to bring his will to us, to help us to understand those commandments more fully. He gave us his written word, right? And he gave us ministry that through that written word and through that inspiration that I would and others would stand before you and kind of help to divide the word of truth by the power of the gift of the Holy Ghost and through his direction. And then personal testimonies, right? I'll testify that that commandment that God gave us about fasting and prayer, it's true. Because in my life, I did it, and the results were there. So we have our personal testimonies, right, of those commandments, of the things he did. And then last but not least, he sent his son. He said, okay, now that's not enough. I'm going to send my son. He's been in the heavens above. Now he's coming down in the flesh. He's going to show you that you can do it in the flesh. And he was going to be our example, right? And so he was able to do that in the flesh. All those things God gave to us as expectations, things that he expects us to do and to apply in our life. So now that we kind of rehearsed the characteristics of God, their nature, what's the nature and the characteristics of man or mankind? Okay? We may or may not set expectations with those around them, right? My wife can attest to that, you know. You can't read my mind, you know. I thought I told you, you know. Yeah, Chris knows that. Right. All of us have a different set of expectations, don't we? So when we interface with somebody, what are we doing? We're assuming that they're on the same page as we are, but who knows, right? Unless we've told them what we believe and think and how we react and everything else, they don't have a clue, right? And so everybody's expectations are going to be different. Not only here as a people in the church, as a nation, as a world of nations, there's different expectations. Unless we can go and have some commonality within the gospel of Christ and those commandments, we're not going to have the same expectations. And even then, sometimes we differ in those opinions and thought, right? What else do? We provide plenty of what? Negative reinforcement, don't we? No! You know, we do it to our kids. We do it within ourselves. They're not doing it right. What are you doing? You know, you're making judgments based on the expectations in your mind, but not necessarily in the mind of those who are doing it, right? Yeah, that's kind of our nature. And then, so what does that lead to? That leads to inconsistent with their judgments, right? We're inconsistent a lot of times with our judgments. Why? Because sometimes, even though we might have these expectations, depending on how we feel about the situation, I don't care about that. I care right now about how I feel, which then changes the expectation, right? It changes those things that we had set as this is the expectation, but in this circumstance, I don't feel that way, so, you know, you've offended me, or you've done this wrong. And so a lot of times we're inconsistent in our way of approach with and our interfacing with other people. So what does this have to do with anything? I want you to keep that in mind, the nature of God and what he did and the expectations and the nature of man. Now, in the relationship of forgiveness. So in that thought process, God said, thou wilt do this. Thou won't do this. He set that expectation. And when we said, yep, we accept that expectation, and then we violate that expectation, the consequences come, right? So there's a debt to be paid. That debt in God's mind, you violated the expectation. All right? So for forgiveness to really be valid, there has to be an offense, right? You have to be offended. And that's the whole purpose of going through the nature of God and the nature of man. Because when we do things that are contrary to the commandments of God, we've offended our God, right? And so now by offending God, we're not on his good side. And so the negative reinforcement is going to apply. Unless we follow the other commandment that if we repent He will hear us, and he'll forgive the debt. Now, in the relationship of a man or mankind, okay, there's this expectation. I have this expectation as I'm driving down the road that this person's going to do certain things. But if they don't do it and they offend me, you know, I get all upset. Maybe they misunderstood the law that was given, but I'm upset. They offended me. So I've taken offense on something that I believe is they violated the expectation. Now, that's just the driving thing. You can do it in a personal nature, your personal nature. You have an expectation in your life for something. And a good example would be, and we run into it all the time now today, okay, guys do. We go into a supermarket, and we're going through a door, and I happen to see that there's a gal coming. Well, I'll hold the door open, you know. Anyway, it's not only going to be a gal. I'll do it for anybody, but I'll hold the door open. Now, if it's the expectation of the woman that's walking through the door, that it's her expectation that that's what I'm going to do and that's what I'm supposed to do, I get the positive reinforcement, don't I? She goes, well, thank you. What a gentleman, okay? But if there's this gal that's coming through this door that has this expectation, I'm a woman and I can do this, you don't have to help me, leave that door alone. What do you think you are? Are you a chauvinist? That's the expectation. I'm not going to get a positive reinforcement, am I? Even though in my mind the expectation was I'm doing something good, right? Okay. So I'm trying to give you some examples of what we can do in our life with the expectations in our mind when we take offense or we give offense. Setting the stage for forgiveness. We're judging. We're judging based on what? Our expectations. Are we necessarily, a lot of times, we're not judging or making those judgments on those things of the commandments, necessarily. Right? It's our personal expectations in our life. It's important for us to understand that because that's where the scripture takes it when you say you're not supposed to judge your brother. Why? Because all of us are different in our expectations. We're not on the same page. And so it's not really right for us to be making that judgment, expectation, when they're not on that same page as us. And that's what God was talking about. Now, we can judge mankind, or we can judge these things as we base them on the expectation of God and the things that he has given us in the commandments. We have that right to do that in our heart and our mind, and then to be able to, as the scripture says, to bring the attention of that commandment, that expectation, to that other person in a very humble way, identifying where the expectation came from and why it's there and how it'll help them in their life. And they're welcome to join you in that same expectation. They may not join you, but at least that's what God expects us to do for that individual, to help them, to bring them to that point. But it isn't for us to just condemn them and judge them to that nth degree without them knowing and understanding the expectation of God and accepting that, accepting it themselves. So, forgiveness. There has to be a debt that we in our personal lives affix. And so we're looking for this person to meet that debt before we can forgive them. And a lot of times that brings on a lot of complications in our life, doesn't it? So what does the Lord expect us to do, and how shall we work these situations? I believe God has given us a plan and helps us in this so that when in our lives that we can walk in the light of Christ as he was our example, and to be able to forgive that debt without that recompense. No different than Christ did for us. Let's go to Luke in the 17th chapter. Let's look at the verse of Scripture there as it pertains to this topic tonight. Luke in the 17th chapter. Here we find that Jesus is teaching forgiveness in these first five verses. He says, "Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that the offenses will come. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that the millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And what I find interesting in this dialogue is that that the disciples, they said, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They could see that this was going to be a hard thing to do. So they were going to have that faith that Christ would help them with that understanding. Now, I took this, there's in Matthew in the 18th chapter, is a continuation of this thought of the offense of these little ones. And I believe it was speaking of those who were endeavoring to do what they believed the expectation was, and that they were judged and condemned. And that would break their heart. And so it wasn't treated as the way that the Lord was looking for them to treat it. Let's go to Matthew in the 18th chapter. Here we find, in the 18th chapter, really there is this whole chapter, the 18th chapter clear through the end, deals with that, this whole concept about setting the expectations, understanding the expectations, where others may violate those expectations, and then the forgiveness and how we should work among ourselves in reconciling one with another, and us being able to give forgiveness to those who offended us. And here in the 18th chapter, starting with the third verse, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." And I believe that's what it was talking about in Luke in the 17th chapter. And this little babe, in that understanding of that expectation of God. And it can be destroyed depending on how we handle when they have an offense. No different than as your children, and you're trying to raise your children, you're trying to teach them those expectations. There's the right way of doing it, and there's the wrong way to do it, where you can actually destroy the child in what he was trying to do or she was trying to do. And to be able to learn and understand those expectations, you can ruin a child that way, and that's what Christ was speaking of when he was talking about those little ones who are converted, like he said, except you be converted and become as a little child. And we have to be careful with that because of that judgmental condemnation when they are first learning and don't necessarily understand the full expectation of God. Okay. Then if we go over to Matthew in the 21st verse, in the 18th chapter, you find also the lost sheep. It talks about that. Here in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee and go, trespass against thee, go and tell him of his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And that's a very important concept which God has wants us to follow in our relationships when we feel like we're offended or when we have given offense and we know that there's something wrong. It has everything to do with this reconciliation and forgiveness amongst one another. Then if we move on over to the 21st verse of that 18th chapter, and it says, here Peter says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I shall not, I say not not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. So it goes into that parable that we read earlier this morning about the one who forgave a huge debt that would never be, he would be able to repay in his life. And then the reaction of the individual when he knew someone owed him money, he went after him, and it was a day's labor or something like that, and he went after him with a vengeance. But all of this, I want you to understand, is in the text of the nature of God and what his expectations are and how man reacts to those things. And that's what Christ is talking about. He's talking about the man in us, the man that's in us, and how we react to offenses and how we react to taking or giving offense, which the scriptures say you try not to do. In Mark, in the 11th chapter, we can find some verses of scripture here on the starting in the, let's see, the 24th verse through the 26th. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And that's an important concept to understand in our life. I know that, you know, we talked a little bit about it this morning. It was, well, what? How do we forgive? What do we forgive? When should we forgive? That's what we want to talk about. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The expectation that Christ has for you and I in these offenses and how we forgive. Remember I said something about that. Really, we were judging others. Let's go to Luke in the 6th chapter. And verse 36 through 38. Prior to this, in this same chapter, there's verses of scripture about loving your enemies. You know, someone who it can easily offend you because of the nature in which they are coming after you. It's your enemy. He wants to destroy you, but the Lord is saying you need to love your enemy, and so this goes hand in hand with this verse of scripture here, 36 through 38. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I have this visual thought in this, when this verse right here, and I'll share it with you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. When I was a kid, my parents took me. I had to do work. So we went into the fields. I picked strawberries and I picked beans and I did the hay and harvesting the grain and all those kinds of things. I did that when I was young. And some of it was really young. I started at 8 years old driving the tractor for my grandfather on the farm. But where I'm going with this is that part of the scripture, when we were in the bean fields and I was picking beans, I was filling this sack, you know, and I could get 7 cents a pound for these beans, okay? So I would pick these beans in the bucket and put it in the sack. Pick the beans, put it in the sack. And I would wait. I wouldn't take that sack up when it was half full. I wanted to make sure that it was full because I would waste a lot of time going back and forth so I could make 7 cents a pound for those beans. So I'd pack it in there, and then I'd take it up there and weigh it, and boy, I'd get this ticket that said it was worth, you know, 10 bucks or something. But the, you know, that was my reward for filling this up. Well, God is going to do the same thing for you in your life when you adhere to this commandment here. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. One of the things that I find, and I believe this is talking about in our own personal lives when we're working or when we're interfacing with other people, I found that in my work, when I'm working with fellow employees and stuff, if I treat them the way I know God would have me to treat my brother or my sister in Christ, I would treat them the same and how God would want me to treat them. No matter what, they would be astounded and they would reciprocate to that kind of judgment. And many times, you know, the truth would come out, and whatever it might be, and it would be a good thing for everyone, for the individual, and for you. And that's every aspect of our life in dealing with these things that God has called us to be a light into the world. And so, have you run into people that do prematurely judge things and condemn things? Do you want to be around them? Do you want to be a part of them when they do that? You don't. You could be swept up in it sometimes too, can't you? I believe that as we allow God to work in our lives, those expectations that God has for us, if we can transmit those same expectations to others, we will get that positive reinforcement, not only from God, but from everyone around us. When we've been studying in the scriptures of the prayer in Matthew in the 6th chapter, I think it has everything to do with what I'm talking about tonight. Matthew in the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 15, and then more specifically in 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter. Because when you look at those words of Christ, as it was recorded here in the Book of Mormon, on page 639, you find throughout this thing, there he's covering all those things that he's, all those expectations that he's looking for from you and I. You know, between loving your enemies and tithing and prayer and fasting and forgiveness and those things that we shouldn't be involved in, anger and keeping his commandments and stuff like that. He it's all those things that are covered here. And then he comes down here where he says, verse 100, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then right into, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So I would have to assume if I'm going to be in heaven, I'm going to be forgiven of my debt, right? Of his expectation, if I've followed the commandments of God, that's my expectation, right? Well, it should be no different. The expectations around us, the people that we interface with, and our loved ones or those that we come in contact with is being able to forgive them of their debt and putting it away. And then right after that it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So it's really accounted evil if we can't forgive those debts that people do that we arbitrarily may have affixed an expectation and we've taken offense. And if we can't seem to get over that and allow the Spirit of God to work within our hearts to resolve that so we might have that peace within our heart to be able to talk with the individual and to reconcile with them and to really overcome, help them to overcome that, whatever it is, you or them, depending on which way it's going, we may walk down this temptation of sin, right? That's what it's saying. But deliver us from evil. Help us, just like the apostles said, help us in our faith. Because it wasn't something that was going to be easy. Because why? The nature of man. And that's why the apostles said that. That the nature of man, that's a hard thing to do. We like to, they did that to me. I can't stand it. And you think about it, and you mull it around, and you toss it around, and you try to go to sleep, and you're laying there, and you're thinking about it again. Well, if I had done this, I would have showed them this, or, you know, whatever. And you're all stewed up. Instead of taking it to prayer and asking God to help you resolve that issue in your heart and mind so that you'd be able to go back to that person with a free conscience and to be able to walk with them to help reconcile yourself with them either way. That he would lead you in those different things that you could do in your life to make it better and make it right. Right? It says, For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, like it says, thy will be done on earth. That's his expectation. You're going to do those things that is expected in heaven. You're going to do them here. And you're going to do them. You're going to walk in those things so that his will be done. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it'll be here on earth and in heaven. So I saw that. It leads right down to that path and that big word forgiveness and being able to truly give forgiveness. You know? Forgive that debt. Let's, King Benjamin, he talks about it. Oops, threw the book away too soon. In Mosiah in the second chapter. And here we find it in verses 1 through 6. Let's see here. I mean, this is the expectation that we believe from the Lord. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin, this on page 219, verse 1, had made an end of the speaking of the words which he had been delivered unto him by an angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. That's an important thing to remember when we are in our relationships with one another and we think, Chris, you offended me. All right? What am I doing? I'm forgetting that I'm dust too. You know? So who am I to judge? You know? You need to work on this. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins and our hearts may be purified. And that's the whole point of this conversation with our relationships with one another, not just with the Lord, but with one another. How can our hearts be purified if we're holding all this anger inside of us against somebody? You know, we can't. Our hearts can't be purified when that is occurring in our heart. If we can't give forgiveness, we're not pure. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it shall come to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received a remission of their sins and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who should come according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken. So you out there who have gone through baptism, accepted the commandments, and received the reception of the Holy Ghost, you felt those things in your heart, that forgiveness, right? All those things that come from the Lord and that the purification that comes with it, you have felt it. Now, think about this, because when you're judging somebody else and assigning a debt to them, how are they going to feel? Are they going to feel good? No. They're not going to feel good. So not only their conscience, but your conscience isn't feeling good in this whole thing. And so it's our goal to make them feel good, to help them feel that debt's not hanging over them, right? No different than when we may have offended somebody, we feel that debt. And we want to go over there and I feel horrible. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Can you relieve me of that debt? I really am. I didn't mean to offend you. I don't feel comfortable in my heart. So would you forgive me? Now, that's what God expects us to be doing with one another, to purify our hearts from those feelings. Because His kingdom He wants on earth, as it is in heaven. And if we say we're a part of His kingdom, then it better be here with all the aspects that come with it, right? So if we go over to the 13th verse, that's on page 220. It says, believe in God, believe that He is, believe that He created all things, both in heaven and earth, believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth, believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. That really smacked me in the face. Okay, you believe all these. Yeah, you're going along. Yeah, right. Yeah. See that you do them. Ooh, ouch. That comes the responsible part, right? The action part that I'm me to do that. See that I do that. There's a couple examples of, and these are way out examples of how someone had really offended and placed a lot of offense with their actions towards an individual, and yet he frankly forgave them. We can find that in 1 Nephi in the second chapter. If you remember the story, they're in the boat. Now, this is the rebellion. Yeah, they're in the boat. And the brothers are rebelling against Nephi. Verse 26, you find, and it came to pass, Nephi had spoken these words unto the brethren, and they were angry with him. And it came to pass that they did lay his hands upon me, and for behold, they were exceeding wroth, and they did bind me with cords, for they sought to take away my life, that they might leave me in the wilderness. I guess they weren't on the boat, forgive me. They did this several times, so. The wilderness to be devoured by the wild beasts. But it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, according to my faith which is in thee, wilt thou deliver me from the hands of my brethren? Yea, even give me strength that I might burst these bands which I am bound. And it came to pass that when I had said these words, behold, the bands were loosed from off my hands and feet, and I stood before my brethren, and I spake unto them again. And it came to pass that they were angry with me again and sought to lay hands upon me. So they were so much in a rage about their righteousness and indignation as they have judged this of Nephi, they were willing to kill their brother. That's the extent of what not forgiving and not being applying those things of God in our lives can take you to that point. And you read about it in the paper all the time. And behold, one of the daughters of Ishmael, yea, also her mother and one of the sons of Ishmael, did plead with my brethren insomuch that he softened their hearts, that they ceased striving to take away my life. And it came to pass that they were sorrowful because of their wickedness, insomuch that they did bow down before me and did plead with me that I would forgive them of the thing that they had done against me. And it came to pass that I did frankly forgive them all that they had done, and I did exhort them that they would pray unto the Lord their God for forgiveness. So their work wasn't done, but what Nephi did, he fulfilled those things that God would have us to do in our life concerning situations, right? There's another one in Alma. With Alma in the book of Mosiah, the 11th chapter, you find that Alma was given a charge to judge people in their sins. King Mosiah had given him that charge. He didn't feel comfortable with it. So he took it to the Lord. And I bring this to your example because there may be things in your life that you really don't know how to deal with. You really don't know how to. You've been greatly offended. And you know that the offense was something that was offense to God and everything. You knew it. But you didn't know how to deal with it. It was more than what you could deal with. So what do? Well, I believe this is a good example where Alma took it to the Lord and he was given wisdom on how to deal with it. In this particular thing, it had to do with those who were in the church and the sins that were there. But we could do the same thing in our personal lives if somebody truly, really offended you, really caused a great offense, and we don't know how to handle it. We have that same avenue. That's why the apostles said, help me in my faith. Because we can go to God and he will answer and he will help us. Or we can forgive and put it aside and make that change that God would have us and make that change in the individual as well. That verse 119 says, 120. And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord what he should do concerning this matter, and he feared that he should do wrong in the sight of God. And that's what we should be thinking in our hearts and our minds when we deal with these interrelationships. And it came to pass that after he had poured out his whole soul to God, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, blessed art thou, Alma, and blessed are they who were baptized in the waters of Mormon. So, you know, the Lord spoke to him and gave him direction on how to deal with this situation. You can read it on your own, but the Lord opened the way for him to be able to do that work that God had given him to do. And we should be no different. Remember, there was another story, and this was a very personal offense. One similar to Nephi, where, again, it dealt with the family. It seems like the family is your worst enemy, you know? In this particular one, you can find it in Genesis in the 50th chapter. It has to do with Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph when his brothers cast him in the pit, leaving him there to die, and went on their merry way. But the Lord, in his wisdom and desire for Joseph, did a great thing. But I want you to look at that in the 50th chapter. And you find here, starting in the 14th verse, I'm not going to read it all, but, you know, this is at the time when this is the second time that Joseph had already forgiven him. This is the second event. This is at the time when their father had passed away, Jacob. And so now the brothers were concerned, well, now that Jacob is gone, you know, Joseph is going to go up because he's a very powerful man. He's going to snuff us out. You know, he was only saving us when father was around. They weren't accepting of that forgiveness that Joseph had already given him. All right? We get into that situation too. Someone trying to give us forgiveness. Ah, I don't want to, you know, I can't do it, you know, for whatever reason. But listen to what Joseph said. They sent an emissary, a messenger, to tell my brother, you know, we're really sorry that we did that, and we're sorry we offended you, brother. And he said in the 19th verse, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. For am I in the place of God? And that's important. You need to underline that in your scripture, because that's that judgment when it says there, judge not that you might be judged. And that's the very thing that it's referencing in that scripture verse. And that's what he's talking about here. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, my brethren, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That was a great offense that they did towards him. A great offense. But he had that love of God in his heart. And he forgave their debt. Cast it away. No different than his expectation before his heavenly Father. One more and we're done. In the book of Psalms, David knew very, very much what avenue he needed to take if he offended his God. We go to Psalm and the 130th Psalm, 8 verses of scriptures. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And he will do the same for you. May God bless you in your endeavors of serving your God.